is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's back to class time, which means hordes of kids are being dropped off at schools each morning or lining up at bus stops. But for a small number of students in Massachusetts this year, going to school involves just logging on to a computer at home. Last week, classes began at the Massachusetts Virtual Academy. It's based in the Western Mass town of Greenfield, and it's the state's first public online school serving students in grades K through 12. A lesson might sound something like this.
Hey, Lavelle, I'm going to give you the microphone. I'd like you to tell me how you turn an improper fraction into a mixed number.
First, you find a whole number.
What if the numerator?
That's from a promotional video by a national online education company called K-12 that's running Greenfield's virtual school. Already, Greenfield has received applications for more than 360 students, and several other school districts in the state are considering their own online schools. They'd be in good company, because virtual schools are popping up across the country. At the Pennsylvania Virtual Charter School, for example, there are more than 4,000 students in grades K through 12. Listeners, would you consider sending your child to a virtual school? Or do you think that there are too many non-academic skills that students can and should learn in the social setting of a school building? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined now by Greenfield Public School Superintendent Susan Hollins. Ms. Hollins, thanks for joining us.
Hello, it's nice to be with you.
And we're also joined by Jeff Schneider. He's a Long Meadow resident, and he's the father of two kids who began classes at the Virtual Academy in Greenfield. Mr. Schneider, thank you to you, too.
Good afternoon.
Superintendent Hollins, let me start by having you describe this school a little bit. The school's website says that this school is for really certain types of students, not exclusively, but, you know, kids with medical social issues, cancer, Crohn's, autism, anxiety disorders, kids who might be pregnant. Can you give us your sense of what type of students this school is for?
Well, we're accepting anyone who would apply, but what inspired us were the students who can't find the education they need in the public school. And that would be students who have health issues that prevent them from being in school, students who maybe have been bullied and they can't emotionally get into school, students with unique learning styles that make it difficult in the school environment. And there are very small numbers of children that just can't use our public schools well. And this is a medium that works for them. Nationwide, I'd say maybe at most it's only 1% of children in the country, but they need to have an option. So it isn't really parents at home just saying, oh, I'd rather do virtual school than public school. There really are parents whose children are in this small, very small category who can't find an adequate public education for these odd reasons, and that's what inspired us.
And Superintendent Hollins, what has the response been so far from parents and students?
Well, we had to launch fairly late. We didn't get the waiver we needed until the afternoon of Friday the 13th, but we're receiving about 25 applications a day.
Could you briefly explain the waiver you just referred to?
The rules that the State Board of Education passed right in the end of July said 25% of the students in the school had to come from the sponsoring school district. That would have eliminated 98% of the towns in the state, because this is only maybe half to 1% of students. So we asked for a waiver on the percentage, which was mathematically impossible for us, and we'd been working on this for about 18 months.
So now you can have more students from other districts come in than the rules might have allowed without the waiver.
Yes, there just aren't that many students for whom this
would
be a viable option.
Jeff Schneider, you're the parent of two kids who began classes at the Virtual Academy in Greenfield. And I think a big question for many listeners may be, why send your kids to an online school? So what was the appeal for you?
Sure. The appeal for us is, and I'll take my son as the easier example. He's a 10-year-old boy who is going into sixth grade this year. When he was eight, he published a novel. He has physics tutors. He took engineering courses. And at the same time, while he excels in certain areas, there are areas that he truly struggles in. So while he can understand a physics equation, he may struggle more than others to memorize his math facts. And the traditional school setting just really couldn't provide for the speeding up and slowing down that has to happen in his day for him to be educated the way that works for him. This allows us to move him quickly at things that come naturally to him, take the extra time for things that are a struggle for him, and the same goes true with my daughter as well. But what it really allows is for us to teach to their strengths and spend time on their weaknesses that might not otherwise be able to be done if a teacher's got to move along the pace at an average pace with a group of 20 or 25 kids.
And can your son go at his own pace because he's basically following an online curriculum that doesn't require him to keep up with a bunch of other kids at the same time?
Well, he can go at his own pace, but the curriculum is still very much in line with the state curriculum, and Dr. Hollins can correct me on that if I'm wrong. So he's got to make sure, we've got to make sure that we're teaching to the state standards. At the same time, he may not need 3 hours on a group of facts that other kids may. He may get that in 15 minutes, and we can move on to something else. And at the same time, he may need to slow down on something that comes more naturally to others. So his unique learning style really makes it so that we can do that. We can speed up or slow down based on his cognitive abilities that, you know, that he's dealing with.
Sure. Listeners, we're talking about the new Massachusetts Virtual Academy. It's the state's first online public school. It's for students in grades K through 12, and it's located out in Greenfield. Give us a call and tell you if that would appeal to you, or if you feel that there's something about physical schools that are important for kids in that age. Lee from Providence, Rhode Island is calling. Lee, what is your thought about this online school?
Well, my thought is I'm definitely not a parent. I'm 24. I just graduated from college. But I went to an all-girls private school from K through 12 my whole life. So I'm used to very small class sizes. But even that, I feel that I don't know how the social aspect of these online schools is sort of supposed to work. But there's something I think to be said for sort of being, in essence, you know, stuck with 20 or 30 or 40 kids, some you like and some you don't like, and having to learn to get along with people who are different from you and with whose, you know, perspective you don't necessarily agree with. And I'm just wondering how these schools sort of handle that aspect of school that's supposed to help with your development for life.
Leah, I think you've raised a key piece of this. And Superintendent Hollins from Greenfield, why don't you address that first? What about the big part of school involved to learning to interact, involved the part of the school experience that deals with learning to interact with peers, that sort of thing?
I'd love to address that, but could I just say there are some students who cannot go into a school. They may have immune deficiencies, or they may have some sort of debilitating illness. We have a student who wrote in who just was in a car accident and she's paralyzed. She can't get into school. It isn't only a choice. There's a small number of students who cannot use their schools. But to speak to the social aspect, the state law allows 20% of a child's virtual schooling to be still in a public school, so that's a possibility.
So they could actually go to a physical school in addition if they wanted to?
Yes, not more than 20% to still keep your classification as a virtual student. That's in the state. And I think you find that we're very interested in making sure with every parent there's a social component. And I think you'll find that most parents are very interested in this too. So on our support staff, we have a pediatric child psychologist who will be following up and will be looking at that.
Mm. Jeff Schneider, you're a parent.
Aspect.
Sure. Jeff Schneider, you're a parent with two kids at the school. How do you feel about that? Do you have concern that if your kids won't be in a classroom filled with other kids all day, it will hurt their ability to interact with their peers?
Yeah, I absolutely understand the concern. It was one of the main concerns that we had when we were originally looking into this, and we've actually been utilizing a virtual style or distance learning school for a couple of years now for my children. So this was a wonderful opportunity to bring this for the state to start providing services that my children need. But that was one of the main worries that we had as parents. The main thing that we have to do is really be vigilant in making sure that the kids do get what they need from a social aspect. The first thing I want to say to that, though, is just because it's a social setting doesn't always mean, and a lot of people will understand this, doesn't always mean it's a positive social setting. The main criteria for us is to make sure that on a daily basis, our children are involved in the community. That means bringing them to library events. They're involved in the local museums where they have daily classes. Last year, we were involved in several engineering courses that were group learning classes. So there was 10 or 15 kids in those classes. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are wonderful. So there really are an enormous number of ways that you can keep your children involved socially. Specifically for my son, who does have some issues socially, because he's got some Asperger's traits, it is difficult for him to be in a social setting when it's more in a school type of situation, where once we took him out of the traditional brick-and-mortar school setting and put him into social settings that are more in line with his interests, we saw him just proudly flourish socially.
So you've really seen how these schools can work. We have a caller who has sort of a technical question of sorts, how the school works. This is Molly from Jamaica Plain. I understand you're wondering how the MCAS works.
Well, how the MCAS are working, and also how are you going to hold the kids accountable as the year goes on in terms of assessments, you know, and if this is really catering to students who can't come into school and things like that or really struggle with it, how are you going to put them in a high-stakes test and then try to make that work as a, you know, just the practical applications of the assessments here is something that really got my interest.
Susan Hollins, superintendent of the Greenfield Public Schools, do you want to take that? How will the MCAS work, and how will you be testing students at the Massachusetts Virtual Academy?
Well, first of all the students, because this is a state-regulated school, do have to take the state test, and that will be in a proctored environment. And secondly, the particular curriculum program we've chosen is quite sophisticated. There are all sorts of software programs for management. So we can, our teachers will be watching the work that's submitted, talking to students, having interaction with students. And it is paced, but everything has a minute equivalent. There's individual skill screening so that all the courses are at the right level. And there's a very sophisticated system with teachers behind every course watching how the student's doing, just like in a regular public school.
Linda from Maynard is calling as well. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to make now a couple of comments. I originally wanted to make one comment, but I am a curriculum coordinator for Virtual High School in Maynard, Mass., which is a online school for students from middle school through high school as well. We provide mostly enrichment courses and AP courses. And one of the things that I wanted to address originally was that we find that one of the things our students really, really like is that we have students globally, so that we have courses in Mandarin Chinese that are being taught from China, and there are students from China in the course. And the kids really, really enjoy that aspect, which I also think is very, very important today to be addressing the global issues. But I also wanted to comment that we have many, many AP courses, AP Biology, AP Chemistry, and our test scores in those, you know, from students who have taken those courses are extremely high. So it certainly does address the assessment issues.
Vanessa, thank you for that. I'm sorry, Linda, thank you for that. I want to add another voice here, which is Marty Walls. She's a state representative in the 8th Suffolk District, and she's also chair of the legislature's Education Committee. Hi, Representative Walls.
Hey, great to be with you.
Could you tell us, I understand that you really support not only online schools, but the expansion of online schools. You think Massachusetts should have more of them?
I do. With Greenfield, we're going to have our first virtual school, but there's no reason why we shouldn't have more than one, because there's a variety of different kinds of students whose needs can be met with virtual school. So I would like to see more of this, albeit targeted to the particular kinds of students who will thrive in virtual schools, but there's no reason why we should just have the one.
Of course, there are concerns about the expansion of virtual schools. We've talked about the socialization schools, but there are financial concerns as well. And we spoke this morning with Tom Scott. He's the executive director of the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents. He raised the possibility that under current guidelines, virtual schools could pull funds away from already struggling districts.
But it's a contentious issue in terms of how you take limited resources away from in many cases, schools that most need it, and then have those funds supporting the expansion of programs in another school district.
And what he's talking about is that the student's home district has to cover about $5,000 tuition for that school. So if a student comes from another district than the one the online school is in, that home district must pay the online district $5,000. Marty Walls, are you worried about bleeding money away from districts that lose students to online schools?
One of the challenges that we face is that there is this argument that the money should stay with the school district even if the child is no longer going to school there. The argument comes up as well with charter schools. Should the money follow the student, or should the money stay with the school district even when the student is no longer enrolled there? It's a very legitimate funding concern that school districts have. But the point that I think is important to make is that the students who are enrolling in the virtual schools are often the students who are not thriving in their current district. And so what we need to come up with is a way is to fund these schools, so the virtual schools as well as the district schools, so that the needs of the students are becoming paramount, and that this discussion about funding doesn't keep trumping the educational needs of students. I understand the funding concerns. They're legitimate, no question about that. But we spend so much time talking about the funding concerns, we're not spending enough time talking about meeting the educational needs of the students who are going to thrive in these virtual schools. Every state that has virtual schools has the same kind of conversation. So we're not alone in trying to solve the problem. But we, as the adults, consistently talk about money, and we don't talk enough about meeting the educational needs of students who are currently not thriving in a traditional district school.
It sounds, Representative Walls, like you're saying, let's make sure we find the best way to educate each student and then figure out the funding later in a way. Jeff Schneider, I want to go back to you. You're the parent of two kids at this virtual
Amen
academy.
Amen to what she just said, by the way.
Because it's worked for your kids well.
On the funding, if I might.
Sure. Why don't you? This is Superintendent Hollins. You want to address that?
Yes, I wanted to say that the districts that are paying tuition of $5,000 will receive state foundation aid for that student, and the average in the state, according to the state, is about $4,800. So for most districts, this will be a wash. And in the first year, there are some new grant programs coming into the state, and the senior financial officer at the Department of Ed has said some of those unique grant programs can pay for the first year. And I think it's important that we spend, at least in my 30 years of experience, it's not hard to spend $25,000 on one of these medically involved children, piecing together programs, sending it to their home. And this is capped at $5,000. So it's possible when people understand it more, the school districts may actually save money, but they certainly will break even. Foundation aid.
Thank you for that. Jeff Schneider, I want to go back to you because you have two kids in the school. I want to understand more how this works. Do your kids have to start at a certain time of the day? Do they wake up at 8 and fire up the computer? Do they have a teacher? What does the school day look like for your son and daughter?
Sure. It's a rigorous school day. It is not an opportunity to not go to school. My kids understand that. My kids also are enthusiastic learners, so that probably benefits us quite a bit. For us, the day does start around 8 o'clock, breakfast done, just like they were going out to school. And from there, we take a look at today's lesson plans, and we usually plan out, we usually see with this, the way this curriculum is set up, it's wonderful. We can see what the class structure is going forward for the year. We can look at it at a weekly view or a daily view and see what we've got to cover. And we start school and we go through the classwork.
Do your kids have a teacher?
My wife stays home and she implements the lesson plans. She's what they call the learning coach. She has wonderful patience, and it does take that, especially with two.
So, if I could jump in and have Superintendent Collins tells us. So, Superintendent, who grades homework and tests? Do teachers that are part of the Greenfield Public Schools do the grading?
Yes, let me say that there are many different providers of virtual education. The particular program we're using has Massachusetts licensed teachers involved. The parent is working with the child, but there's always a teacher involved who's coaching the child and coaching the parent. Not every virtual school program has that. and the teacher is involved with grading, yes, and all the materials are submitted to the teacher, and there's dialogue between the teacher and the parent and the child. Mm. And the students get together approximately once a month.
I see. We have been talking they get together for online tests?
No, face-to-face, that program brings students together just so they can meet their classmates at least once a month.
Okay. We have been talking about the new Massachusetts Virtual Academy. It's the state's first public online school. It's for students K through 12, and it's in Greenfield in Western Mass. We've heard from Greenfield Public School Superintendent Susan Hollins. Thanks to you for talking with us. Also from Jeff Schneider, who's a parent of two kids at the Massachusetts Virtual Academy. Jeff, thanks to you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
And we heard from State Representative Marty Walls of the 8th Suffolk District, who also chairs the legislature's Education Committee. Representative Walls, thank you.
My pleasure.
Up next, Partners in Health supports a new medical school in Haiti, and Boston beat out Chicago and San Francisco, but for what? We'll tell you about that after this break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.